Mock Draft 4.0 is in the books. Wayne, it's time to review. You ready?
Let's go. What's going on? Happy Friday, faithful. What's good, everybody? It's your boy Wayne Breezy, Mike Andrews. Welcome to the BAM Show.
Yes, sir.
We got to start the show off because my man Nigel, shout out to Nigel out there. He gifted a membership already. So we got the membership gifts. This is to my man Rob D, man. Welcome to the Breezy Bunch crew, dog. Welcome to the crew. Welcome back to the crew. What's going on, man? Mike, how you feeling on this Friday?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to celebrate, relax, get loose. I'm ready to sit back and enjoy the weekend, man.
I like that. No football. You're not really into basketball, and that's about to be over anyway. And your team your team plays my team tonight.
The Hornets?
Yeah, so you're going to win. Because, unfortunately, like, my team can't win all of a sudden. Like, they're playing terrible basketball. I don't know what's going on. They lost to the Bucks. They lost to the Knicks. They about to lose to the Hornets. But, yeah.
Well, the good news is we're a get-right team for teams that are struggling. So, this is the push y'all need heading into the postseason. Like, this will help y'all out.
I don't understand. I know the Celtics aren't really playing for anything, but to look bad is not good at this point in time in basketball.
It was a good game against the Knicks, though. It was close.
It finished close. The game was terrible the whole game. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, the only reason why it got close is because the bench came in and was like, yo, we going to come out and scrap. Like, that's what happened.
All right, I got you. Yeah, see, I just saw the box score. I didn't watch the whole – I definitely didn't watch it, so.
Moral of the story is you got to watch the game. Don't just watch box scores. Box scores don't tell the story. See?
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine. He says that basketball don't start to the final 3 or 4 minutes of the game. Like,
it sure doesn't, bro. That friend is spot on. Yeah.
Now, we had a comment last show. Do you want to start with that one? It was from Oscar.
Let's kick off the show with that. That was a good comment.
So he said to you in particular, he said, Wayne Breezy, thoughts on the Niners trading 63 and 124 for Njoku, the Browns tight end. Browns want picks, and we need a tight end number two. He's only 27. Has a reasonable contract, 23, had 81 receptions for 882 yards and 6 touchdowns. David Njoku.
First of all, I love Njoku. It was tragic what happened to him last season. Yo, this dude literally got burnt, like physical burnt from a fire, and played
that. Came back and whooped ass, yeah.
Like, with the mask on, like, and he's been surging the last couple of seasons with the Browns. So this means that the Niners would have to take on his contract, too. I'm not sure what it is with the Cleveland Browns, and I'm not sure they want to do that. I just feel like there's some tight ends that the Niners can look into in this draft that can probably, you know, hopefully blossom into a number one tight end or a number two tight end. But if you get Njoku, he would immediately be an upgrade in that room, and it would be like 1A. I'm not gonna put him at 1B, but he's a tight end number one in Cleveland. Like, you know what I'm saying? Tight end number one. So, like, he would come to the 49ers, and this will allow the 49ers to do a lot of good things with the tight end. So I don't know if you want to give up your third round pick and a fourth round pick for him. You might be able to just get him for a fourth. It depended on the contract.
I mean, he was saying, would you give up 63 and 124 for him? I think that's bit much.
Isn't 63 your third and 120?
No, that's your second and
okay,
your fourth.
Okay, so I'm definitely not giving up a second.
Yeah.
Not when you can draft a tight end. It's the end of the second round. My apologies. But, But I think you could get him for a fourth, depending on that contract he has.
This contract actually is not terrible. Now, next year, it's a little bit different. So this year,
my point is, you're going to be paying for him. So that's why I don't think the Niners would give up a second, knowing that they have to take on a next year's contract, unless they bring him in with
the negotiation.
Negotiation, exactly.
Yeah, because he's definitely not playing anywhere for the 2025. He's got a $14 million base salary and a cap hit of over $20 million for a tight end. That's not happening. So yeah. Even if he stays with the Browns, they're reworking that deal.
Yeah. So, look, like I said, I think a lot of people want a tight end, too. Like, we have yet to have a tight end, too. How many teams, though, Mike, have tight end twos, though?
I mean, the Patriots were really infamous for the two tight end set.
That was then. The NFL's changed. But what's another – name another team that currently has – like
the Dolphins were doing it at one point. Like, they had Mike Gesicki as their tight end two or three because, you know, like of how they valued tight ends.
I don't know. It just seems like – I don't know. It seems like that era of football is over. I would love for the 49ers to bring it back, though. Like, you know, that's why I was saying, like, you get a – if you draft a guy like Theo Johnson, you could possibly use him as a hybrid. And I would love to see what Braden Willis does. I know a lot of people keep saying we need to look at fullbacks. I don't think so. Okay, we could say the Bills. Nigel, that's a good one. The Bills have Kincaid and Dawson Knox.
Knox, yeah.
And they drafted
it. It might be that division. It might be just like the all NFC three East. Teams we named it from that NFC. Yeah.
I mean, AFC East. The Ravens, do they have – they do – the Ravens had Andrews.
And Isaiah Oliver.
Likely. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying like
– to be fair – Likely didn't emerge until Andrews went down.
Got hurt. That's what I was going to say. They didn't find out he was a tight end one until the injury to Mark Andrews. Now the Bills literally drafted Dawson Knox 1 year, went that last year and got Kincaid. It was like, yo, we can get a big guy. So that, like, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. And you know, we talked about the tight end and you mentioned Theo Davis. I mean, he's Johnson. One of the prospects. I mean, Theo Johnson. He's one of the prospects that we drafted in this mock, man. That's pretty cool.
I keep telling you, like, my comp to him is Aaron Hernandez. He's a tall 6'6 guy. Anyone see no 6'6 guy running out of the backfield? But look, he has some moves. He got a little juice in him.
Friday night and the weekend's here.
Hey, Mr. DJ.
Hey, yeah, man. All right, so this is cool, man. So I like it. Listen, I like Njoku. He's one of my favorite tight ends in the league, but the price has got to be right.
And he's definitely emerged into like a tight end, like one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so the Niners wouldn't even bring in a better veteran. like they could. I feel like. There's some tight ends out there. Like, Tonyan is still available. Like, why not bring in Tonyan?
I can't call it, man. I don't know what it is about this tight end room that they feel like, oh, we could just put anybody in there. It's kind of like the offensive line, right? So.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to this mock draft review, Mike. Let's go through these picks that we went. And I believe I get to go first with Tyler Guyton. 6'8", offensive tackle, right tackle. Out of Oklahoma, it's a big dude, man. Big, you know what's cool about him? He's big, but he's athletic. He's very athletic. Mm-hmm. 322 pounds, 34 1/8 inch arm length, hand size 10 1/4. But the thing you're gonna get from him, athleticism. He's very explosive off the line of scrimmage. Now I don't know about his blocking sustainability. But I know that first initial contact is going to be power. And he's getting into your rib cage chest. Like, he's getting into that upper area. And so, you know, that's pretty cool. And if you look at what his weaknesses are, you know, he's going to struggle against speedier guys, you know, especially from the outside. So, like, when they're coming around, you know how those speed guys on the outside take that big dip around? He's gonna have to get his footwork out there and try to initiate that contact. But he's a good prospect, man. I think this will be a solid pick at 31 for the 49ers. He doesn't have to come in and start right away. But yeah, man, he's able to pick up stunts, twists, all that good stuff. And it's really good balance for a guy 6'8". So I know he's not the talk of the town, because there are a bunch of he's not a combo, he's not a versatile, can't play guard, he's not gonna kick in the guard. No, he's a tackle. He's a straight up tackle at 6'8". I like this kid, man. Good pick, Mike. I think this is a solid pick. Oh, and fun fact, did you know at TCU, this dude was an H-back before he became a tackle?
I thought he was a tight end. That's cool. Well, I mean,
well, yeah.
I
guess it could use, yeah, yeah, that, that's still, yeah.
Put him out that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, there you go. Like, athletic guy, that's what you want to see, right? So that's pretty cool. The next pick in the draft, we went with corner from Georgia, Kamiri Lassiter.
Georgia? Now,
yeah, man. See, I try not to do it. I'd be fighting it, man.
Georgia.
It's the Wayne coming out of me. listen, man, this kid shows a lot of flash, a lot of really, really good talent. He's a feisty guy. He reminds me of Diamador Lenore in certain ways, right? Very feisty, smothers receivers. He doesn't like to give up a lot of separation. And maybe the pro day showed why. This guy ran a 4.6 at the pro day, which is going to probably scare some people off. Wayne, let me ask you a question. We've heard people say that you can improve your 40 time just by working on your get off without even running the whole 40. You just work on it and you can improve it. Are you concerned that it might be a lack of discipline knowing that the pro day was coming up and he didn't take advantage of being able to run that 40 time in front of scouts and everybody coming in to see the other prospects from that school?
I mean, it's tough, man, because you want to see cornerbacks, wide receivers, running backs, even safeties. You want to see what their straight line and vertical speed is, right? That you kind of want to see it. 4.6 is a tad bit slow, but I'm more of him. Like, I the thing I like about this kid is he's not allowing you to get by him. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen in the NFL. I mean, you're going to line up against speedier wide receivers, but look at the competition that he played. Like, he played in the SEC and he played some really decent wide receivers, right? I mean, isn't LSU out there? I'm just curious to know, like, what did he allow neighbors and those dudes to get off on him? Like, pause. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah,
he's a good defender. I'm not really worried about his speed. If his technique is great, if he has the technique locked in down pat, he's gonna be a top draft pick. He's gonna be a second rounder for sure, second to third rounder. So I'm just curious to see, what was his height again?
5'11".
Yeah, he's kind of tiny. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little guy, 186, 5'11". He's feisty though. He doesn't play like he's 5'11", 186.
Nah, he's gonna play big, and I think that's what you like, right? But that's the 49er type. You know what I mean? When you look at who's the 49ers type? Me, give me a big 6'2", 6'3" guy out there. But he's the 49ers type, right? So.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's a solid pick, and I think he could be good. And if people are going to be scared off by size and a 40 and ignore everything they saw on tape, bring them on our way. Let them always fall right to us.
Oh yes, and that's the thing, man. You've got to watch the film. You got to watch the film. Like, the film tells it all. Testing is cool. These workouts are good. I think they boost you up more than they hinder you. You know, I think they will boost you up more than they would bring you down. But solid. Solid pick.
Yep.
All right, let's go with we did some trading. We did some wheeling and dealing, and somehow we ended up with pick 108. I don't remember the trade that we actually did at that time. I see a couple of questions, and I'll just star them, and we can go back to those at the very end of the show if we have time. But pick 108, we traded, and we got edge rusher Austin Booker. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about Austin Booker. 6'4.5". Dude is about 240 pounds. Is that light out there on the edge? Smell like an outside linebacker kind of weight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like, especially at 6'4".
Yeah. But here's what I like about him, right? So, like, explosiveness. His first step, explosiveness. So if he can get around you, boom, with that explosive first step, good luck. He's not trying to just go around the big tackle. He's trying to cut inside. So you got to really, you know, do your due diligence on him. He has a crazy wingspan, you know what I'm saying? And those long arms could come in handy. He's very athletic and he's versatile. So the way that you can utilize him is something special. And so I think the 49ers, you know, I'm curious that the 49ers will add another versatile type of edge rusher to their thing, but that might be their type. That might be what they want. Like they have a guy. If you look at Leonard Floyd, he could be versatile, right? Because you could use him in different systems, 3-4, 4-3. That's kind of what I'm getting from an Austin Booker when you look at the edge out of Kansas. 3-4 guy, 4-3 guy. If he's going to play standing up, like how is he going to be out there on the edge? We'll see, but he has the ability to get to the quarterback, and I think that's what's most important, man. He has that explosive first step, a.k.a. the get-off, and that's something you just can't teach, you know. You either have it or you don't, and I think Chris Kocurek would scream over getting an athletic player like this.
Yeah, yeah, very, very good guy there. I won't touch on it a lot more after that. That was really good. Kansas in the building. Our next pick here, we were at 124. We got running back Jalen Wright from Tennessee, baby. Now, I like this guy.
Oh, now you like. Okay. Okay. I'm glad. I'm glad you had to do the homework on him, because every time I mention him, you'd be like, what?
I had to go back and look, man. He's got some decent hands, but he's quick. This is a quick, twitchy guy here. You know, and a lot of people are going to be fascinated with the, 7.3 yards a carry in 2022. That's not where I was most, 2023. That's not where I was most impressed. It was what he did when they gave him the ball inside the goal line, inside the red zones in 2022.
Tough, mm-hmm.
He's a tough guy, hard to bring down. He can break that first tackle. He's 5'11", right? He's 5'11", but he's 210. And this guy, man, let me tell you, you get him near the end zone, he's going to find it. He had 10 touchdowns the previous season. He had 4 just last year, but he was a real, real weapon for the team. And he's got, like I said, he's got some decent hands, shifty guy. This is a really, really good pick. I think he's a top 5 running back in this draft.
Yeah, I have him in my top 5, and it's funny that you mentioned that. Like, right, so I got Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. I got Trey Benson out of Florida State. And then there's Jalen Wright. Like, and there's Blake Corum. And then there's the kid out from Notre Dame. Those are my top 5. And then there's other guys like Isaac Garendo, Ray Davis out of Kentucky. There's some tailor-made running backs in this particular draft. But Jalen Wright gives you speed, and I don't think you talked about his speed because you talked about him being utilized at the goal line. I think the thing I like about him the most, not to add too much more to what you said, is his ability to get outside. And he has the speed to get there, and it can stretch the zone. And the 49ers need to get back to stretching the field. I miss the lateral stuff. And speed was killing us, you know. Love Christian McCaffrey, you know what I hate? The tosses. And that's why we had the toss, because they, you know, now we can stretch. We can run halfback stretches, and we can allow these running backs to stop, boom, and go straight to the outside and then cut up one cut and then be gone. So he has the speed to do this. 4-3 guy. Great, great write-up. Great review on him.
Also, really quick, I love one more thing. He improved in his final season in college as a pass catcher. He had 6 receptions in 2021, only 2 in 2022, and all the way up to 22 in 2023. So he worked on it and got better as his career went on.
I'm telling you, Jalen Wright, he's a dude. He's a dude. I know people don't want to go running back. They don't want the Niners to draft a running back, especially in the third round. It's kind of like this thing. He's a dude. I'll leave it at that. Pick 29. You know, I'm going to draft this guy in every draft I get, because I don't know what Mike sees on film, but what I see on film is a mean, mean mother trucker from outer space. We went with guard Mason McCormick from South Dakota. Dude played for the Jackrabbits in South Dakota State, man. Listen, this kid is mean. There's nothing else I can say more than having a guy that's mean. And Mike, what do you love our guards to be able to do, Mike? You like when they're able to do what? Starts with a P.
Pull.
Listen, not only is he mean, Mike, this dude finishes. And he's a great pulling guard. He can be a straight up weapon. 6'4", 309 pounds. I just think the 49ers need to add this to that level. Just imagine having a healthy Aaron Banks. You draft this kid, Mason McCormick. You get mean. You get tougher. You get back to pulling now. The run game is going to be crazy. I just can't even imagine it. Any concerns that I would have for him, does have inconsistent footwork with his pass and run, and sometimes he plays out of frame. But other than that, like, I think the dude is going to be amazing at the next level. And check this out. I mean, I know he played for South Dakota State, and I know they didn't play against top-tier, you know, caliber, you know, competition. This is like FCS or something. Like, I know it's not the top tier account. Dude gave up 3 pressures all season, Mike, and they were just hurries.
This guy, I want to give him a nickname officially before he makes it to the NFL. I'm going to call him Tugs. I went back and watched a lot of film on him, and after almost every play, he's tugging at his shirt. It's almost like he don't want nobody to see his back roll.
See his back, yeah.
So he tugs at his shirt a lot. He gets to the second level quickly, like when they want him to get to the second level, but it looks like he like hesitates to engage with somebody. It's almost like he's afraid of a penalty. Like, he looks around, he'll make contact, but he doesn't like lock up and engage. And then I did see him pull a couple of times. I saw him pull in one play where he like kind of sidestep instead of turning and running. It was like a sidestep across the line. I was like, what was that? It was effective. He got there. He delayed the guy, but he's an interesting guy, man. He's an interesting player for sure.
4th round pick, I wouldn't mind, and watching him progress at the next level. Listen, when you get called for 9 penalties, it can affect your mental. Like, you know what I'm saying? It could definitely affect the mental of your game. So he did have 9 penalties in 2023, but, you know, he played 5 years at South Dakota State, and you know, with 20 total penalties. It's funny how a lot of players that I look up, their penalties are higher in the 2023 season. That's amazing to me. It's kind of weird that their penalties are higher in that number. But again, left guard, I think he'd come over and play at the right guard position. And if I'm not mistaken, Aaron Banks will be a free agent next year, if I'm not mistaken. It's like the stuff just you don't even think about. Like, just time is flying with these players, man. Time is flying with these players. Anyway, I like these bullies. I like getting bullies up front. Mike had to take an emergency phone call. So let's see if I can remember who his pick was. And I'll give you some take on his next pick, which was Theo Johnson, because we just talked about him. Tight end out of Penn State, 6'6", tight end out of Penn State. He's just a natural weapon for me. Like, Theo Johnson is a weapon. And how the 49ers will use him, I mean, I feel like they could use him in so many ways. At least you're getting a pass-catching tight end. I don't think he's one of the greatest blocking tight ends in this draft, but there aren't too many that are great blocking. And I think if you wanted a guy like Jatavion Sanders, I think that's his name, from Texas, he's not a great blocking tight end either, but you know he can be utilized as a weapon. He's a little bit on the shorter side, but I like this kid, Theo Johnson, big time. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk a little bit about him. Let's look him up. Let's see what he does. 6'6", 259. Wow. Great hands, okay? And his route running is superb. Like route running is probably Travis Kelce. He has really good hands. His initial burst is great. And he's a yak guy. And I don't know if you remember, but getting yak is what we do best. Getting yak is what we do best. Again, I'm just concerned about him and his run blocking and how that will improve. But I feel like guys come into the Niners system, and if they can engage in a block, it's a difference between engaging in the block and sustaining the block. And so I would be a little curious about his sustainability. I definitely do know he makes the engagement as a run blocking tight end. Mike, what are your thoughts on Theo Johnson? This was the
you did a really, really good summary there. I don't even feel like I need to touch on it. I think you did him more justice than I would. And this is a guy that I've been really, really excited about. I like the size. I like the speed. I like the power combination. And I love the fact that he's coming from Penn State. I feel like people that come from Penn State and go to the Senior Bowl are usually really, really pro-ready players. They come in and make impacts a lot faster than some other players. So you talked about the physical attributes. I'm going to focus on that stuff. Not a lot of opportunities, but 7 touchdowns and just 34 catches. That tells you something right there. So I like it.
And speaking of physical abilities, that was pick number 135. So that was our original pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
At pick 146, this was a pick we traded for. I drafted wide receiver Javon Baker, and I want him to continue to go under radar, because I'm talking about a 6'1". I don't have to look anything up about Javon Baker. I'm talking about a 6'1", wide receiver that has the ability to get open. I mean, his route running, Mike, his route tree is super silky smooth. Here's what he lacks. Here's his only negative ability. You ready? Vertical speed. I don't know if what I don't know, but Mike, let me ask you, like, I don't know how you feel about wide receivers, like 4-5 wide receivers. Like, does with that, he's a 4-5-6, I think that's what he ran. Let me see if I got it written down here. 4-5-4. Yeah, I'm sorry.
4-5-4.
Yeah.
4-5-4.
So,
yeah.
How do you feel about like a wide receiver not being able to run in the 4-4s? Because this is a kid that's 6'1 that has a high catch radius. Glue hands, not stone hands, glue hands. I mean, he catches balls, paws. He can jump through the roof. His athleticism is crazy. He runs a crazy route tree. And the only knock for me is his vertical speed.
Right. I'm not overly concerned with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is a little bit concerning, I'll be honest with you, but the film, like, he runs pretty good yard. He runs really, really good routes, and he gets open. I'm not saying that he can't be caught from behind or anything like that, but he showed signs of speed. I don't know if he's got to get the right angle. I don't know if he's got to have more confidence, but he has some giddy up. He goes, man. He goes.
Check this out. 62.4 PFF run blocking grade, which is not bad. Like, wide receivers blocking grades aren't going to be in the 90s. let me see. I see my man, great one, 765. It says, Ryan Flournoy. I wonder if he was related to Meech and them. I got to find out. Anyway, wide receiver will be a better pick, 6'2", 205, big catch radius, and can block. All right, so let me look him up. Let's see what he did in college as far as blocking. I just told you with this kid at Southeast Missouri, Ryan Flournoy, 67.3 run blocking grade. It's 4 points higher. We talk about a kid. He had, let me get his offensive stats. Let's get his receiving stats and let's see where he goes. I like this. I like when we have conversations. He finished with an 82.1 offensive grade. So his offensive grade was better. His receiving grade was better. He had 96 targets, 59 receptions for 825 yards, 14 yards per reception with 7 TDs. Hold up. Let me see if I can pull up my boy Baker. He one of the Baker boys. All right. Javon Baker. He finished. We had 71 targets, 43 receptions, 966 yards. He averaged 22.5 yards per reception, but he only has 6 TDs. His offensive grade was a 79.7. They're kind of similar, if I'm not mistaken. 6'1". What did I say Baker was? Baker is 6'1", 202. And you said that Flournoy is 6'2", 205. He's a little bit taller. Listen, I don't know. He has a good grade blocking. Let me see what you said. He has good grade blocking, good 6 or 7 pickup. Hey, I just like this Baker kid. But I will check out the Flournoy kid. I have no problems checking him out. But we'll see what happens, you know. We'll see what goes down. All right, Mike had to do my next pick, and I think we drafted Justin Igboigbe, out of Alabama. Saw this kid at the Senior Bowl, liked him at the Senior Bowl. And I like the fact that he's versatile. I think the 49ers can use him whether it's inside or outside. I think they can get a guy, they can use him inside or outside. 6'4 and a half, 297 pounds. That's kind of big for an edge rusher. They might ask him to lose a little weight to be an edge rusher, but you could kick him into the inside, maybe have him gain a little weight. So I'm curious to see how the Niners would kind of like treat him and kind of get him used, how to use him. Mike, what are your thoughts on Justin Igboigbe? We can't hear you.
Igboigbe is a guy that was quickly running up my draft boards as a defensive tackle. This is a guy who gets his hands up all the time. He would be Brock Purdy's worst nightmare. He would be Brock Purdy's worst nightmare. 6'4", 297. And if he falls this late in the draft, we got to steal. He's probably a day two, early day three type of guy. So, and I'm talking super early. And he had a good week of practice at the Senior Bowl. This guy, he's going to be a force in the NFL. He's strong, tough, and he has the mindset of, let me just try to make a play. Let's try to make a play. He's not super duper explosive. He's not going to go out there and wow anybody with running anybody down from behind or anything like that. But he's got some power, and he's got a little bit of a motor. He's just a little slow.
That's
what you're going to get. But that's what you're going to get for 6'4", 297.
297 is not a bad weight, though. I mean, it's lighter than the guys that we currently have. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially if you're going to kick him inside. But you're looking for rotation right now and the potential to move up to a starting spot. And so if you can get him this late in the draft at pick 182, I mean, at pick 176 in the fifth round, I think that's a steal. Mm-hmm. You know? Now, we did trade up on our next pick, and I went with the guy. How come I feel like I'm talking about my guy? Didn't I draft Frank Crum?
We were going back and forth. It's weird because you did draft him, but you had to fill in when I stopped talking.
Okay. Do you know anything about Frank, or you want me to talk about Frank?
Yeah. He got in the starting lineup in 2019, and he was a steady starter for the Cowboys, not the Wyoming Cowboys guys, not the okay. All right. And then his final year,
Josh Allen went to
Wyoming. I think so. This guy is 6'8", bro.
Bro, he's tall. I think that's a knock on him, but the dude is hella athletic. Mike, he's 6'8", and he runs faster than Trent Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive, man. 6'8", 313, like you said, faster than Trent Williams.
What was Trent Williams' 40 speed? I'm sorry. Did Trent run a 4.7, or am I bugging?
I know
that Frank Crum's 10-yard split is faster than Trent Williams' 1.7 10-yard split.
Trent Williams ran a 4.81.
Okay, so Trent Williams was faster in the 40, but Frank Crum has a quicker split. He jumped 31.5-inch vertical. His broad was 9 feet 6 inches. He had a 7.393 cone. His shuttle was 4.73, and he bench pressed 22 times. What's the problem? I think, Mike, the issue with him is Mike McClinchy vibes. And so when I watched him, I think the fact that he's the tallest guy out there, he gets up too high. Here's the thing, though. He doesn't always get bullied. Now, I did see him on his butt a couple of times. I don't know if the Niners want to go back that route, but the kid is hella athletic.
Well, let me tell you why the Niners will probably have a guy like this on their draft board. You know what he did his senior year?
What did he do his senior year?
He moved to left tackle.
He moved
to
left tackle.
This guy is somebody who plays across
versatile.
The line. That's the Niners might be feeling like, oh, we got a baby Trent Williams on our hands. They might try to do that.
I mean, as far as athleticism, yes. Everything else, mm-hmm. he's just got to get more. He's got to get tougher. Now, look, I believe from what I remember during the combine week, I think he's getting married, and they're getting married. Their wedding, the way he talked about it was kind of dope. But I just feel like the kid just got to get in the weight room, not to get his weight up, but just to get a little bit stronger as far as being on the offensive line and trying to block some of these defensive guys that are going to be coming at him pretty hard. But listen, 4.94, and the dude has a 1.69 10-yard split. I would put him on my radar because now you're adding athleticism back, and all I care about is running outside zone. I know you want to protect your quarterback, but versatility is key too.
Yeah.
All right, Sione Vaki was 2.11, Mike. Sione Vaki was 2.11. Safety from Utah. Probably one of my favorite picks.
Really?
Yeah, man, I like the fact that I'm curious to see how he would be utilized in the NFL. Not fast as a safety, but fast as a running back. I can't explain it. I don't know how you run a 4.67, but as a running back, it's like a 4.47. As a safety, it's a 4.67. And I think it's because of him thinking and the angles and things like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as playing a safety. So is he the best safety in the draft? No, but he's going to be a box guy. He's not going to be a deep safety. He's just a versatile piece. I just don't see Kyle Shanahan passing on. Like, I just...
He showed some signs that the Niners are going to like, and as he got more comfortable in the system here in the second year, they allowed him to start playing towards the line of scrimmage some. They sent him in on some blitzes and things like that. And this is a California guy, man. He's from Antioch, so you know, they have a soft spot for guys who come from their area. They tend to appeal to the Niners a little bit more. I think he's somebody that if the Niners were to get their hands on him, they'd be trying to figure out creative ways to use him.
That's what I'm saying.
He thrives in that. He thrives in that. That's when he gets excited about football again. You can see the passion come out of him then.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, look, it's weird. So it's a weird speed. Don't look at the 40 speed when you look at Sione Vaki. Just look at the fact that when he gets the ball in his hand, he's not getting caught. Like, that, I can't explain it. Like I can't. He's very tough, and versatility is key. We're talking running back. We're talking safety. And again, he's a shorter guy, 210 pounds. What is he, 5'11"? Kind of stocky, though. Right? Yeah, kind of stocky though. But like I said, he'd be more of a box dude, not the best tackling safety, and struggles in man-to-man coverage. So those would be his little downfalls. But we're in the sixth round, so.
Right. So when you're getting down here now, you're drafting guys that you saw something and then that you like and want to get a closer look at them, work them out for, you know, a couple of weeks, and that's how you do it. So
you want to do Nathaniel Watson and I do Lydon Trey Griffin, or vice versa?
Sure. I will take Nathaniel Watson, man. Let me just tell y'all right now. Okay, we ended up with Nathaniel Watson at pick 251. He will not be here in real life.
I don't know. I don't know, Mike. There's some knocks to his game. But, preference, I think I like Jordan McGee out of Temple better in the late round. We're not talking about him. This is Nathaniel Watson time, so go ahead. But
Nathaniel Watson has all the linebacker versatility that you could possibly want in a guy. 6'2", 244. He can play inside linebacker in a Niner scheme. He could play outside linebacker if you're running a 4-3. This guy can do it all. He's a tackling machine. Like, he loves being around the ball. He had 10 sacks. He's got some forced fumbles in there. And this is just what he does. This is what he does, and he's a flashy player. He makes big plays. He hypes up the team as he's out there. He's one of those guys with that infectious energy. He brings it right to us. I mean, we're talking about maybe looking on to move on from Dre Greenlaw, and you know, the injury and the contracts and all that stuff coming up.
No, blasphemy. Okay. Blasphemy. Okay.
This, I'm telling you, this is going to be the guy. This guy is special. This guy is special, and he plays with really, really good energy.
I agree. I don't have many knocks on him. You're getting him late. He's slow though. And so that would be my knock. Like, he's like 4'6", 7" guy. He's kind
of
slow.
This guy won't make it out of the third round.
Okay. I think the way that linebackers have to play football and be able to cover team, like when they play the 49ers, they have to be able to move laterally. I think that speed is what's gonna weigh him down. But if the Niners draft him, they won't have to worry about that. But I'm worried about the other teams that might try to copycat what the Niners do, and then they force him to cover a guy or two, and then that's where you'll see him struggle. Sort of kind of like the linebacker that struggled in the Super Bowl that I don't want to mention his name.
I don't know of whom you speak.
So me neither. All right. So the trade, we ended up with one extra seventh round pick, and I took Lydon Griffin, wide receiver, out of Mississippi State. So we got back-to-back Mississippi State guys, because Mike and I just be in sync like that. So what's some things you want? Like, listen, this kid he's like a Ray Ray McCloud. Like that's exactly who he is. He is Ray Ray, the replacement. Kid's 5'10", 181. And I felt like they didn't utilize Ray Ray like I thought that they would when we signed him in free agency. I thought he would be a slot monster. This kid is a slot monster, though. This kid is quick. He runs a 4.45, 1.55, 10-yard split. He struggles against physical DBs. That's why you want him in the slot, because they're not going to be pressing on him in the slot, especially if he's making an angle. He has really good hands, and he has the short area quickness. So once he catches the ball, good luck. It's yak time. Like I said, the things that he's going to struggle with, catch radius, all that type of stuff, playing through contact, things like that, and defeating physical cornerbacks. But here's what I like about him is the versatility, because this kid has returned several kickoffs in college. The Niners could use a kick returner. I'm sorry. It's something that they can use. We can put Jalen Wright back. Imagine having Jalen. I know this year is going to be different. A Jalen Wright and a Latrick Griffin, guys that make people miss as with speed as your returners. I think that would be really good for the San Francisco 49ers. So late round wide receiver, but will probably make special teams somehow as a return guy. But you could put him in a slot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it, man. I like it. Wayne, man, that was fun. I'm sorry I had to pop out of here.
I think I just feel like it gets better and better because we give insight now on the players. Like, you know, we pick them. We don't pick our players blindly, but we don't have enough time to tell you why we're picking the players. So
right.
We come back on Friday and give you the breakdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this was the recap of the mock draft 4.0 that we did on Monday. And that's good. It gives us some time to sit with the guys and look at some tape on them and watch them a little bit, you know. And this was a lot of fun, man. I'm enjoying this. This is helping me get into draft season mode, man. I'm not one of these mock draft guys or anything like that. So, but this is a lot of fun for me. I'm really enjoying this. I'm learning a lot about these guys.
And then if you guys enjoyed it, make sure you hit that like button on both channels. All right. If you're new to the channels, go ahead and subscribe to both channels. All right, and feel free to become members of both channels. You're getting 2-for-1s here, but you got to do it for both. This is what we do, and we appreciate you guys. Man, I don't know what the chat's talking about today. They on a whole nother page, but it's all good.
We did
man.
Have a question, though. I know you said
we have a couple of questions that we start. Yeah. Yes, Kellen Mond signed with the Saints.
Oh, win the Saints. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, that's it. They marched in and said, oh, you working out for the Niners? Get you over here. Let's go. So he is now with the Saints, man. Little backup over there.
And then
they signed what's his name, right?
Derek Carr's their quarterback still.
Where did Kirk Cousins go? Atlanta. I knew it was that division, Atlanta.
Okay. He went to ATL, dog. Tobias England says, do we really need more corners so high in the draft? That's a good question, Mike. Do we really need more corners so high in the draft?
It depends. Everyone's looking at Rock Ya-Sin coming in here and Yidam coming in. They're ignoring guys like Luter and Ambry Thomas. It depends on how you feel about the players that are here, right? I can look at this team and very well say, I don't see any day one have to start guys out here outside of Demo and Ward, right? The flip side is you could say there's a lot of potential and maybe we don't need to invest so much in these guys. I'm not sold on Rock Ya-Sin at all. But Ambry Thomas isn't giving me anything to pound the table and be like, yeah, he's way better, right? Like, I'm going to do it because that's my mission this year. But I don't have any, like, hardcore consistency and proof. If he was doing anything consistently, he would be a starter. But when you have this many picks and you have a roster this stacked, you're going to be throwing early draft picks at a position that you really don't need to. That's the result of having a really good team.
Very well said. The 49ers never, not in this regime, address the cornerback position. They always do it later, and they hope that they hit. And so they have to throw more picks at the position and hoping that they hit, right? And so they threw a pick at Ambry Thomas, and then they threw a pick at Diamador Lenore, and, you know, in the same draft. And they hit on one. I would like for the 49ers for the very first time to find their guy. Mooney Ward is not their guy. Yadam is not their guy. Rock Ya-Sin is not their guy. Like, they went and got them in free agency, and they've became additional pieces to the 49ers DB room. I would like for the 49ers for the first time, they have the ability. They can draft a corner in the first round. They could draft a corner in the second round. If their guy is there, I say do it, because nobody out there is thinking the way that Mike and I are thinking. Let me just remind y'all. Ambry Thomas, Diamador Lenore, Mooney Ward, Yadam, and Rock Ya-Sin will all be free agents in 2025.
I said they gone. That's it.
They all will be free agents. So if you have the ability, Tobias, to get your guy early, and you see a guy there like a Kool-Aid McKinstry, Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri, I'm high on Mike Sanders still. People keep saying he's too small. Bump that. He's not too small. Dude plays big. Who cares if he's 5'11"? Wasn't Jimmy Ward 5'11"? Thought Jimmy Ward was tiny. Played pretty big. And the cool thing about Mike Sanders still is you don't have to put him. He's a nickelback, but guess what he can play? Safety. So, you know, when I look at, like, who their guys that they drafted Ambry. They might not hit on him. They seem to have hit on D'Amador Lenore. And those are the two corners that they hit. Now, Darrell Luter Jr., will he develop? You know what I'm saying? We'll see. It could be, but we don't know yet. You know, we don't know if Darrell Luter Jr. is going to pan out. We're hoping that he does. But, again, he was a fifth-round pick. They didn't invest high on Darrell Luter Jr. They drafted him in the fifth round. If he hits, he hits. If they miss, they miss. But there's some dogs out there in that first round, second round, even third round that I think that they can go out there and get if they're looking to get their guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and y'all know where I fall on corners. I want Max Melton. Like,
Max, he's going to be gone. I want Andrew Phillips, and if the Niners don't get him.
I was happy with Lassiter pick.
Yeah, he's going to be gone. How you feel about the new helmets, Mike, if we get those new helmets?
What new helmets?
There's a new rule in the NFL where teams can now have three different helmet designs options available to wear this year. And apparently there's a metallic helmet going around. I think it's not real, but there's an option if the Niners can get that metallic helmet. You know what I'm saying? Terrible. I liked it, though. I think it'd go clean with some of them unis.
If it's the gold one that I've been seeing.
Yeah, you don't like it.
The sun reflecting off of it, the lights, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, there's no metallic
it's not
helmets.
Good for ball.
There's no metallic helmets in the NFL, right?
By design, yeah.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying, yeah, because of that. The visors, though, can be metallic or mirrored or whatever you call it.
The mirror, yeah. You get that little tinted, the color fade joints in there. Those be looking tough.
So Tobias came back and says, Demo is their guys. Why waste picks when we can get players as Mooney and Sherman as free agents? Because then you got to spend money on free agents.
Right. So listen, guys, you know, there's this big debate going around. I know we got to wrap this thing up here, right? But there's this big debate going around. Is Brock Purdy worth $50 million? And the answer isn't just yes or no. It's yes if you can keep the core of the team together. Like, that's what makes him worth $50 million if the team is still complete around him and they can continue to compete year after year, right? But if you go out there and you pay him $50 million, you don't have the money and the luxury to go out there and get guys like Sherm and guys like Ward and whatever other big-name free agents in Hargrave and all that. That money is now tied up in a quarterback. So it's not just, you know, a simple yes and no. Because Brock Purdy, without all that talent around him, are the Niners still making playoff and Super Bowl runs every year? I don't know. So,
yes, it's a tough thing. But this is what the draft is for. The draft is for trying to get your guys. And the Niners have a first-round pick. They have a second-round pick. They have that luxury.
Third-round pick.
And the third, well, they always have third round picks. They don't give up those, but they have those luxuries, like, you know, and they have a plethora of picks to move maybe up in the second round, right? Or move up in the first round if they don't want to draft 10 players. So we'll see what happens. I'm not saying that Demo isn't their guy. He proved to be their guy, but that doesn't mean they have to re-sign him. Like you got to, I didn't mention Talanoa Hufanga. But he's also going to be up for a contract next year. And so he's an all-pro.
See, comments like that, they baffle me. Go back 10 years and tell me if a good quarterback is worth it. I don't even know what this means, technically. Like, I don't know on other teams. Like, I don't know what that means. But second of all, if you look at just the Niners, we don't have Trent Williams and Fred Warner and Greenlaw and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey all on these contracts. If we have a quarterback taking up 20% of the cap space, it doesn't happen. It can't happen.
Yeah, no team does that.
Right. And so, like, you have to keep that stuff in mind when we're talking about, just, is a quarterback worth X amount of dollars? I can't answer that question. I don't know that Brock Purdy elevates the play of that many people around him. I don't know that. And it's not about Brock Purdy.
I mean, if we can have that conversation next week, but I think Brock Purdy definitely is going to be paid, period. Like, you have a quarterback, and how the Niners have found a way to finagle the backloading situation of the CBA, like, they got it kind of like down pack. The question is, the elderly players are the ones that, you know, you got to kind of like worry about, because, like, if Trent Williams walk away, now what? If George Kittle walk away, now what? Like, if Debo's not going to walk away yet, but you get what I'm saying? The players that are more up there in age are the ones that can retire. I'm done. I mean, and so, like, that is where it gets a little bit concerning, you know what I'm saying, for the San Francisco 49ers and their chances. But right now, 2024, they got to hit. They got to hit a home run. They got to knock it out of the park. And this draft is super important, because in 2025, 2026, 2027, when some of them players are starting to walk, you know, those contracts, we just watched the 49ers let go of Eric Armstead because it was too much money and the value wasn't there. They could do the same thing to every other player. That's the message that they just sent. I don't think people are paying attention.
Sent that message. It's not the first time they sent that message either. They did it with another defensive tackle just five years ago.
Like, after they told him that they weren't going to trade him and that he belongs here.
We want him here. Yeah.
So I will say that those two pieces weren't their guys, though. I would put that little disclaimer in there.
Yeah. Listen, man, Wayne, this is good, man. You got any plans for the weekend, bro?
You know me, man. I work on the weekends, dog. It's kind of like where I get it in and get the music stuff flowing.
Yeah, I like that, man. I like it. Go get it in, man. Hope you have a good one, a safe one, man. We thank you all for watching us. We hope you guys appreciate the elongated episode today. We didn't rush through it. We wanted to make sure we answered questions and got to all of them. We appreciate you guys. Like Wayne said earlier, subscribe to both channels. Wayne, let's go home, man.
Let's do it.
We live all the time, just kicking it with the fam, bro. That's Breezy. I'm Mike, and this is The Bam Show. Peace.